Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor brother Rob Coombs. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
You know, that's the difference of the state of mind in many cases. Some really don't believe this is the day that the Lord has made. And you know, and you've heard me say so oftentimes, but you know, there is a day that the devil has made. And it's a state of thought. You know, I choose this day to serve the Lord. And I choose that He is my God and my Savior. And this is the day that He has created for me. Amen. For me to serve Him, worship Him, praise Him, and to walk in His counsel. Amen. But you know, some people wake up and they think, well, this is the day the devil has made. They wake up and say, oh, they murmur and complain against God. Oh, God, you know, why me? You know, why have you done this for others? And why can't you do it for me? And oh, Lord, you know, man, I don't feel good. Oh, God, you know, I'm sick in my body. Oh, God, I ache in pain. Oh, God, this. And they murmur and complain, and they let the devil create their day. And you know, it's simply a state of mind. And we could choose to serve Him and praise Him and honor Him. And we can overcome pain, affliction. It says, you know, many are the afflicted, but the Bible says that He will deliver us from them all. Amen. And we need to believe that. We need to have an expectation of God. If we cannot expect God to do something, He won't. And it's simply, He is the high priest of our confession, and we have to confess and we have to believe. And many times circumstances arise in life that we could know God. We wouldn't know Him in His healing unless there was sickness. We wouldn't know Him in His deliverance unless there was a bondage. We would not know Him in His strength unless there was weakness. And the thing is we don't submit ourselves to the weaknesses and the bondage and the elements of this world, but we submit ourselves unto God. Amen. And we look to Him and we rejoice in Him and we praise Him. And we by faith speak to those things. And we speak to the things that are as if they were not. And we speak to the things that are not as if they were. And we speak those things by a confession of faith, by believing. Amen. And we stand and we believe with no doubt. And we have all hope and all faith and all trust in Him. And He moves and He will come to pass. Amen. In whatever the circumstance is. Amen. Y'all believe that this morning? I believe I'm standing before some believers this morning that really believe in God and His Word. Amen. While we're standing together, let's pray together. Most gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to be in Your house, Lord, the house of prayer, the house of God. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You, Lord, that Your Word is true, Father God, and that every man be a liar, Lord God, that is outside of this Word. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for the Spirit of power, the Spirit of strength, and the Spirit of salvation. Almighty God, as we stand before You this day, Lord, coming together in Your name, Lord, knowing that You are in our midst, Father, thanking and rejoicing in Your presence. Hallelujah. Have Your way within this service, knowing I as a man have nothing to say, Lord, and can do nothing. But Father, as we decrease and You increase, standing upon the promises of a living God, Lord God, and asking You to have Your way and move and utilize this vessel, Lord, to speak to Your people. Oh God, help them, strengthen them, Father, in Your Word, Father. We thank You and we have all faith and trust in You and You alone, being our God, our salvation, our power and our strength. Father, we love You and thank You in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Before we go into reading of the scriptures today, and asked to go over to the hospital yesterday to see a young man named Adrian, pretty weak. Got him under much medication. Scientifically, I guess you might say, or science so-called, falsely so-called, the Bible says it don't look good for the young man. Don't look like he'll be with us much longer. But by faith in God and by the strength of the Spirit of God, we can trust and pray and believe, and God still performs and works miracles. Sometimes we have problems seeing the miraculous power of God move because of unbelief. You know, we're serving a miracle working God. I found myself ministering to the young man's father, and I guess it would be a stepmother, and even the mother there for quite some time, and I was dealing with unbelief. That was the obstacle that was against me when I came, was unbelief. I would hear people confess and talk about miracle working God. They'd say, well, you know, I believe that God works miracles, and we're expecting a miracle, and we're looking for a miracle for my son to walk out of this hospital. And then in the same breath, asking to make funeral arrangements. And I told the individual, I said, man, this don't work with me. It checks my spirit. I said, you know, I can't sit here and talk about funeral arrangements and talk about the miraculous power of God moving. Some would say, well, brother, we got to be prepared for all things. And I say, yea and amen. But you know, when it comes to working a miracle and expecting God to move miraculously speaking, brothers and sisters, we have to walk beyond unbelief. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. You see, either we're believers or we're unbelievers. And you say, well, you know, there's people that die, brother, every day. Sons of God don't die. Brothers and sisters, they might put a son of God in a box, and that old bodily perspective would be considered asleep, but we have passed from death unto life. So when we speak and understand the Word of God, knowing that our forefathers and some have gone on to sleep, then we know how we speak about death. The only death that I will ever die, brothers and sisters, is the death I died with Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I was crucified with Him. Paul made this statement in Galatians, the 2nd chapter, the 20th verse. He said, I've been crucified with Christ, and the life that I now live in the flesh, he said, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, the thing is we got to learn to speak different and act differently and talk differently. We're peculiar people. We're not supposed to talk like the world. We're not supposed to come into all the ideologies of the world and the religious world. We're supposed to stay with the Word of God and speak the Word, believe the Word, and it doesn't matter what other men say about the Word. We know what the Word says, and we stand upon the promises of God, and we believe them. Amen. So again, as I found unbelief, and I found that unbelief perplexed my spirit in the perspective that when unbelief is there, we limit and we tie God's hands. I've many times have spoken to you about binding the power of God. And some say, well, God cannot be bound. Well, we need to stay with the Scriptures and the Word of God. And the thing is that we could bind up the forgiving power of God through unforgiveness of our own self. If I cannot forgive my brother that has trespassed against me, how could I expect God to forgive me? That's what the Bible says, brothers and sisters. So see how we could bind things up in heaven, and we could bind the forgiving power of a living God. And because of unbelief, brothers and sisters, it says that when Jesus, we know who he was. Jesus is God, Emmanuel, God with us. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was all power, all authority. All things were created by him, all things visible, all things invisible, the Bible says. You understand, he was there before the beginning. He was there when all things were created. He was there when this earth was created. He was there when everything was created. And nothing was created outside of him. And I know we talk about, you know, before the beginning, and we think of, you know, well, Jesus had a beginning there, you know, some 2,000 years ago at Bethlehem. But we say, no, that's not biblical. We do know that there was a Son of Man birth in Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. And brothers and sisters, we say the Son of Man, the Son of God, both Lord and Christ. And we have to understand that. But on the other hand, he had no beginning, had no mother, had no father. And this is how we know God, and that's how we worship him. Amen. So we find that when God himself walked among men in a personification of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he walked there among the people, there wasn't many miracles wrought there at Nazareth. Why? Because of unbelief. There wasn't many miracles there because of unbelief. Brothers and sisters, unbelief is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. And when you find these things moving in the behalf of people, you will find that God is bound and cannot move. And you say, yeah, but he is an awesome God. Man, he's an all-powerful God. He could do as he will, and he could do as he want. Well, if he could, then why was he not working miracles when he walked among men in Nazareth? It's because of unbelief. Brothers and sisters, the Bible said, choose ye this day on who you are going to serve. Just as we sang the song, this is the day that the Lord has made. Is it truly the day? Have we allowed God to make this day? If we're in unbelief and murmuring and complaining against God, then did God create that day? Or did the mind, the carnal mind, and Satan create that day? You see, this is why, brothers and sisters, it's important of how we think and how we believe. And when we have no expectation of God, then he cannot move in that. We absolutely bind God. And we tie his hands in so many times because of our thoughts. If Jesus is the high priest of your confession, if he is the high priest of your confession, that's what the Bible says, and your confession is that he does not heal, then that's exactly what he is to you. He is not a healer. If you don't believe that he's a deliverer, then he is not a deliverer to you. Because he's moved by faith. The Bible said, without faith you will not see God nor know God. And faith, brothers and sisters, the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, we have to bring through faith, by faith, we got to bring God into an existence. Do you realize that God created man, and then we have man that's been creating their God for 6,000 years? Do you realize that? Do you realize that there is more than one God in this world? The Bible talks about Satan being the God of this world. We think of Jesus, say, well, he's my God. And I say, yea and amen. Jesus is my God. But the same Jesus that is my God and whom I serve and give my life and surrender to is not the same Jesus that many people worship. Just because they use the same name and even read the same Bible, he's not the same God. My God is all power, all authority. My God, brothers and sisters, there's no other gods between me and Him. He is my salvation. He is all power and authority. He is a deliverer. He is the Prince of Peace. He is my salvation. He is strong and mighty. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus said, "It is expedient that I go back to the Father, that I could send back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter." Amen. He did exactly what He said. And He said, "Go ye there into Jerusalem and tarry there until you are endued with power." My God is power, brothers and sisters. And when you're walking with a God and you call Him by the same name I call my God and He is powerless, it's not the same God that I'm serving. Amen. Do you have expectations of your God to move for you? Do you call upon Him to move for you? Brothers and sisters, let me explain some things here to you this morning. I know that people go by the way of the grave. And you say, "Well, you know, if you have faith, Brother Rob," you might say, "or if we have faith, people would not go by the way of the grave." Brothers and sisters, we have passed from death unto life. The grave has been conquered. Death, hell, and the grave has been conquered. And the things that I'm speaking about to you this morning, that has nothing to do with it. When you see an individual put in a box, you say, "Oh, they're dead." And Jesus argued with them there. When He came and Lazarus was in the tomb, He said, "Oh, he's not dead." But you see, because of unbelief in their heart, He said, "No, he's not dead. He just sleep." So you see, when we speak by the authority and the power of God and His Word, and we say, "Well, there's people being put in a box," that means that the grave has not been conquered. Oh, no, you're observing lying vanities. You see, that has nothing to do with what I'm speaking about this morning. Brothers and sisters, as I said the other night, speaking about death, there's some that are twice dead and plucked up by the roots, the Bible says. And they're dead while they still yet live. While they still have breath going in and out of their lungs. They're numbered as dead. So you see, when we think of death, we have the wrong concept. You think of death when they take a loved one or a friend or something and put them in a box and bury them, you say that's death, but not according to our Bible and the Word of God. The Bible talks about the forefathers who went on to sleep. You see, we need to have a confession, brothers and sisters, in the Word, and we need to speak this Word. And when we start speaking outside of the Word, then we find ourselves in unbelief to what God said. So the thing is when we know who we are in Christ, we know that we've passed from death unto life. Said and done, settled, yea and amen. You see, it doesn't matter what happens to this body. If there's sickness in this body, you say, "Well, that means God isn't a healer." No, God is a healer. And healing is the children's bread. Now, the thing is there's a difference, brothers and sisters. As I was speaking to an individual here the other day, I said, "You know, the Pentecostal church world is moved by what they see miracles with their eyes. If you saw a man walking with a white stick and all of a sudden his eyes come open and he could see, and you think, 'Man, praise God, we're serving a miracle working God. Hallelujah.' And they're excited about that. It doesn't move me at all." And you say, "But Brother Rob, it should move you." No, it doesn't move me. I'm not charismatic maybe like you are. That doesn't move me at all. What moves me when a man gets his spiritual eyes open up and can see into the kingdom of God and know who Jesus Christ is, then I'm moved. Amen. Natural miracles, brothers and sisters, we could rejoice and say, "Well, praise God." Amen. But that has nothing to do with the brother's spiritual life. He could receive his eyesight and you could say, "Man, praise God." He starts lusting after women and committing adultery in his heart and finds himself perishing in hell. And you say, "Man, I've done a great thing." You might know a man bound in a wheelchair and God has him bound in that wheelchair and allowed it. Evil can't come to that man lest God send it, saith the Lord, the Bible says. And maybe because of the afflictions in that wheelchair keeps him humble before a living God that he could serve God and walk with God. But then you say, "Oh man, we're miracle workers, praise God, because we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Arise and walk." And you bring him out of a wheelchair and he walks in the ways of the world, the cares of the world, and the charismatic nonsense of this world, and he perishes and goes to hell. And you think you've done something for God? See, I'm trying to get you to change the way that you think, the way you observe, the way that you see. All things work together for the good of them and love the Lord. He has His way in the afflictions. He has His way in the tribulations. He has His way in the persecution. Many are the afflicted of the righteous. The Bible teaches us very clearly about persecution. Don't you remember when the disciples come out of the jail? They rejoiced because they were going to be beaten and whipped for the name of the Lord Jesus. And He has His way in the persecution. You see, we got to learn to change our thinking and how we think of God. The disciples, some of them asked and said, "Well, can we sit at the right hand of the Father?" And He said, "That's not for me to give." But He said, "Of that cup, you can drink of the cup of persecution and tribulation." He said, "You can partake of that, but I can't grant for you to sit at the right hand." He said, "It's not mine to give." Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you that we need to understand God. We need to know Him in His love and His mercy and His kindness and His grace. Yes. The whole world knows him in that. We're all under the grace of God and the mercies of a living God. If this world was under the judgment of God, the blood would flow to the horse's bridle and all things would come to naught and come to an end. He said if he didn't hold his wrath back on that day, the great and terrible day of the Lord, it said that there would be none saved. That's what the world would know when the blood comes off the mercy seat and the grace is over. We don't take the grace of God to lasciviousness, but the whole world is. How do you know your God? And what kind of God do you serve? I say so oftentimes about Brother Paul when he was there at Ephesus. He stood before the people and he declared that they were serving an unknown God. I've said this before and it's offensive to people, but America is serving an unknown God. Listen to me. They use the name Jesus. He's an unknown God to them. Let me tell you, when you know Jesus as your God and your Savior and your salvation, then you know the God of power, because he said he will endue you with power. And that power gives you the power to come out of the world. It brings you out of drunkenness. It brings you out of adultery. It brings you out of fornication. It brings you out of murmuring, complaining against the living God. It is the power, brothers and sisters. And when you walking and murmuring, complaining before God, then you're just like those Israelites were there when the earth opened up and swallowed them up. And the cares and the love of this world and this earth will swallow you up, and you'll find yourself walking in the ways of this world, and you will not be walking and serving a living God. Amen. There's a difference. Are you bound? Are you bound by circumstances of this world? Are you in bondage of the things of this world, the love and cares of this world? Is this world order dictating your life? Is it dictating your fashions, dictating the things that you do? We need to be separate from this world. We're not supposed to be moved by this world and affairs of this world and the love of this world. When we think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they protested against the order of the world. The world said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to bow down and you're going to worship. And they chose not to. And God delivered them, brothers and sisters. And I'm telling you, we're in the day and hour that the world is putting demands on you to go their way. They've changed our gospel, brothers and sisters. They have rewritten our Bibles. The King James Bible is no longer good enough for them. They want to get these new lukewarm gospels out there that take the strength and the power of the word. We have to be politically correct in this day and hour. The ministers are being prepped in the schools and the seminaries not to offend people. You say, well, they can offend people. The Bible teaches that if they offend a little one, they're better to put a millstone around their neck and cast themselves in the sea. But brothers and sisters, it's not the ministers that offend. It's the word of God that offends when you preach the power of the gospel. Amen. They find themselves offended. The minister's rude in speech, but not in knowledge. You need to offend the homosexual community when you preach the gospel and let them know that that is a sin that will bring them to eternal damnation and death, and it will separate them from God. Oh, but that offends me. God is love. God is mercy. God loved them so much and was so merciful that he died and shed his blood upon the cross that they could be endued with power to overcome that perversion. We could talk about whoremongers. We could talk about harlots. We could talk about idolatry and fornication and drunkenness. We could talk about all the things of the world with all of its bitterness and wrath and malice. We could talk about jealousies and envies and strife. My God is a deliverer and he fills us with the power and endues us with power that we can overcome all of those things. Are you walking below the means that God has put within you? Are you walking below those things? You need to stand up and gird your loins up like men of God and say, you know what? My God is a Savior, he is salvation, and he is power, and I can overcome all things through him. Amen. That's the God that we need to be serving. Our God's not weak. Our God's not poor. Brothers and sisters, our God has all provisions. He's given us everything, the Bible says, that pertaineth unto life. Everything. Brothers and sisters, we lack nothing whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. And if you find yourself in a place of despair, you find yourself, when Elijah found himself, you know, in need of food, the Lord said, well, go to the brook. Our God's a supplier, brothers and sisters, in your day of need. And you limit him, and you move in unbelief, and you murmur and complain against the living God. Brothers and sisters, we find that if I turned you back over to the book of Exodus, and you find that when the children of Israel came out, and they murmured and complained against God, and God heard their murmuring and complaining, he brought them meat in the evening time, the quail. He brought them manna in the morning that they could eat thereof. And they murmured and complained. God was showing his provision. He was showing his provision to the people, brothers and sisters. There's so many beautiful things that take place there. When you read over there in the book of Exodus, there's so many things that God is showing us, an example of this day and hour. He said, look, I'm capable of providing to you, but don't put your faith in what you see today. Put your faith in what is not seen. They wanted to take this man and take a bunch of manna up to themselves and have some for the next day, but it would go wormy and dry up. You know, the manna, brothers and sisters, has to do with the spirit of the word today. And you know, people want to take this intellectual word and they want to memorize it, they want to do all that, and they want to store it up. But you see, it's fresh, brothers and sisters, the spirit of the word. It's fresh and it speaks. It commands you that go forth to preach the gospel, not to go with the preparation. And so you're always, you know, a workman who need not be ashamed, and you're going to be studied up and prayed up. But you don't go with forethought of what you're going to speak to the people. If you have it all planned out, then you've limited God from moving. You just go and say, here I am, Lord, use me. And you find that unction of the Spirit of God. You find that unction from the Spirit and the anointing of the Lord, and He'll speak. It's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking. But when you have it all planned out, and you got all your notes lined up, and you got, this is what I'm going to teach on, you've limited God. I heard a preacher one time say, he said, well, I would rather go that way and be prepared, and I still allow the Lord to speak. And I could agree with that and say, yea and amen. But brothers and sisters, so many times the intellectual mind, the carnal mind, will take preeminence in their study, in their teaching, in their education, in their schooling, and they'll take preeminence, and they will stand before the people with a preeminence of their understanding, and that's what you're being taught by. Oh yes, you'll grow and you'll learn. But you know, brothers and sisters, you know the Bible said knowledge puffeth up. We're not after knowledge, brothers and sisters. We're after the wisdom of the Spirit of God and moving by the counsel of a living God and walking in the Spirit. Amen. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit of God. We have to come to a place, and sometimes the tribulations and persecutions are something that comes, brothers and sisters, to let us know and see the power of God. Again, it's when He put over here in the book of Hebrews, He said it was the things that took place in the Old Testament for examples for us today. And then we go in and we say, well, these are here for an examples, and we see the salvation of the Lord in every adverse situation that came across for the people of Israel. When we find these different countries coming in trying to destroy them, we find the salvation of the Lord. Even where they had to hold Moses' hands up and hold them up, that they could go in and battle against the Amalekites people, that they could hold up their hands until they prevailed against them. When His hands come down, they prevailed against them. We see the power of God. What is that showing us as an example? Brothers and sisters, we need to stand with the ministry of the gospel in this day and help them hold up their hands, for we can overcome the things and the powers of this world that come against us. God has His way, brothers and sisters, in adversity, and we would not know the power of God unless there's adversity. You see, sometimes we have this religion that's just also, for lack of expression, just so hunky-dory and, oh boy, praise God. And it's just a lukewarm religion. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I walk in the power of God and I rejoice in the Lord, and He is my Savior, my salvation. He is my joy. He's my peace. Amen. And I walk in a peace that surpasses all humanistic understanding. But brothers and sisters, we can't take that out of context. There's still tribulations and persecutions. There is an adversary, the devil, who's seeking who he can devour. And we're going to have to know that we are girded up with the power of a living God when these things come, that when they come, we say, oh, where's God? He's there in the midst. He's the one that has allowed us to show the salvation of the Lord. Do you understand that? When these Egyptians were bearing down upon the children of Israel, that God was having His way in that He could show the salvation of a living God. And Moses said, I declare the salvation of the Lord, and the Red Sea parted. And they would have never saw the power of the salvation of God unless there was an adversary pursuing down on them. Amen. And God has His way in the good and the evil. So the thing is when these things come in your life, it is God that has allowed these things to come, that you could show the authority and the power of the gospel, that you are an overcomer, and yet you are more than a conqueror, that you have been endued with the power of God, that you could stand against the day of the enemy, the adversary, the devil, with all authority and power, and say, get you behind me, Satan. That's the authority and power you have. But how are you going to demonstrate that power unless there's some adverse situation that comes your way? Brothers and sisters, many times these things come that we could see the glory of the Lord. Is your God a healer? Amen, He's a healer. And the only way you'll know He's a healer, by overcoming sickness and affliction and disease. Is your God power? The only way you'll recognize the power of God is when you see the power move in your behalf, when the doctors say it's impossible. And when the banker says, man, I can't help you. And when it seems like everybody has separated from you and it looks like you're standing out there all alone, then you can say, you know what? I believe in the power of God. And you'll see the mighty hand of a living God move in your behalf. No matter what the circumstance is. It doesn't matter if it's health. It doesn't matter if it's finances. It doesn't matter what it is, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter what kind of tribulation or persecution come your way, God is standing there and saying, hey, I'm your deliverer. I am your God. I am your salvation. Let me show myself to you. And many times by your murmuring, complaining, and your unbelief, you have limited him to move in your behalf. Amen. Trusting. You need to trust him. He is God. You need to trust him. Don't observe the lying vanities around about you. When you start looking on the world and you start looking at the things of the world, you'll find yourself in despair. Don't look at those things. Those are the lying vanities. Look into the throne of God and say, God, you are my Redeemer, my Savior, my salvation. Amen. And in whom you I trust. And you trust him and he'll move in your behalf. But when you start looking at the circumstances, Peter stepped out of the boat looking into the eyes of Jesus and started walking on the water. But when he looked down at the water, then fear gripped his heart. Unbelief gripped him and he sunk. And the Lord pulled him up out. But at least he got out of the boat. Some don't even get out of the boat. Brothers and sisters, and what happens when you start looking at the circumstances of unbelief? Then they overwhelm you. And you'll be swallowed up in them. Just as the children of Israel, when the earth opened up and swallowed them up because of the murmuring and complaining against God. Don't murmur and complain against God. When you hear people murmuring and complaining, this brother, I had to give him some counsel yesterday. He says, I'm questioning God. He says, why? Why don't God take me instead of my son? Why don't God take somebody that's already lived a long life and it's old? Why don't God take them? But why do they want to take my son? He's only 16 years old. What kind of God is this? He didn't maybe express it exactly like that way, but that was what was emanating from his heart when the man spoke. Yes, I feel his infirmity, brothers and sisters. It's a father grieving over a child that's ready to take its last breath any moment. And it's a father grieving. And yes, I could get on board with him. And I could say, oh, where is the salvation of God? Where is this healer Jesus at? You know, see, I could get on board with him in unbelief and be consumed up in those things. But you know, I ministered to him and I said, brother, I said, who are you to find fault with God? The Bible said the wicked live long and the righteous die young. There's no reasoning under the sun. What matters is salvation. What matters is eternal life. It doesn't matter. This world is short like a vapor in a mist. What if your son lives to be 100 and loses his soul? But what if God would allow him to go off the scene at 16 and have salvation? What would you choose? I said, now you find fault with God because of this. But I said, what would you choose? If you say my son could go on now, some shorten the number of their days by disobedience. And I said, what could happen if your son could go on now and knowing that he has salvation? Or would you grant him life, naturally speaking, that he could walk out of the hospital tomorrow and lose his soul? I said, what would you say, Father? And he said, well, if you look at it that way, he said, I'd just soon him go on. And I said, now you're coming into the mind of God. Amen. You see, we think wrong. We think selfishly. We think and we judge everything by the ways of this world and by the way things look of this world. Oh, I want my children to live long with me. Amen. We all do. But brothers and sisters, let's get heavenly minded. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there's many times the Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. If they don't cease from sin, then sin's going to be imputed to them, and that's death. The sting of sin is death. And if people are walking in sin of this world and in this world, then they have separated themselves from the love of God. When you are full of the Holy Ghost and the power of a living God, then you come out of the world and you're an overcomer of sin and you put it under your feet. And the Bible says you're more than a conqueror and death, hell, and the grave is conquered. And the only way death is conquered is by the abolishing of death. And that was abolished by Christ at Calvary. And that is when you put sin under your feet. I happen to be a preacher that doesn't walk in sin every day. I happen to be a preacher that the Bible commanded me to come out of the world and be a separate people, and I've done that. I happen to believe that the Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin, and I'm not walking in sin, brothers and sisters. And I believe the Bible said, blessed is the man who God does not impute sin, and I'm a blessed man because he's not imputing things to me as sin. I might trespass against God, and I might fall on my face, and I'll get back up, but he's not going to impute that as sin to me. This isn't a license to walk in lasciviousness or willful sin. The Bible says, God forbid. Amen. But I've been endued with the power of God to overcome the things of this world. Amen. I'm not some sissified guy that keeps on pleading the blood of Jesus. I'm walking in the power and the authority of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And you say amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm not boasting in myself. I'm not boasting in my ability. I'm not boasting in my education. I'm boasting in the power of the gospel and a living God. And he said, I'll endue you with power, hallelujah, and I'll give you the spirit to overcome the things of this world. And I've received that, and I believe it, and I walk in it, amen. And if you need the gospel and the blood of Jesus to keep pleading the blood while you walk in willful sin and you keep on partaking of the world and walking in that, then you've denied the Lord Jesus Christ as your God and your Savior, and you've denied him as your power, amen. The Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin because his seed remaineth in you. That seed come, brothers and sisters. They talk about the seed of Abraham and the seed of Isaac, and that seed of Christ comes within you when you receive the power of the living gospel, amen. And that seed is in you, and that is the hope and the power of glory, amen. That is Jesus Christ, amen. He is the life, the Prince of life, and the power of salvation, amen. And this is what you must receive, hallelujah, and you must there walk in, amen. Quit making your God weak. Quit making excuses. The Bible said you are inexcusable, and when you're making excuses all the time, oh, I'm just the man and I'm weak, the Bible said, let the weak say that they are strong, amen. Hallelujah. Quit confessing weakness. Quit professing poverty. Quit professing sickness. Start professing your God, your Savior, your salvation, amen. The Bible said there's many sick and afflicted among you because you don't know how to discern the body of the Lord, amen. I know how to discern the body of the Lord. I'm in the midst of the body of the Christ, amen, the children of a living God, amen. What I do to the least of you is what I do unto him, amen. And if you're sick and afflicted and I visit you not, that's what I've done unto the Lord, or vice versa, amen. So the thing is we need to know how to serve God, amen, and know how to understand him. People don't understand this God. They're waiting on God. The whole church world is saying, oh, praise God. You know, the eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll, and one day our salvation of the Lord is going to come. You poor, pitiful thing. He's here with us today. Amen. It's like Brother Ed said at the beginning of service, or two or three come together in his name, he's in the midst. God's with us, brothers and sisters. He's fellowshipping with us. He's walking with us. He's supping with us. I'm within him and he's within me. That's what the Bible says. And we need to believe this. We need to know who he is and quit walking below our privileges. He is a living God, amen. He is present on the day of need. He is with us, brothers and sisters. Quit putting him off somewhere on another planet. Start believing that he's fellowshipping with you. You say the Bible says the kingdom of God is within, and God's in his kingdom. So where's God? He's within me. I'm not looking for him on a planet. He's not out there building some mansion somewhere for me. This is the mansion that he was speaking about. This is the place that he prepared. He shed his blood, amen, and cleansed this temple right here that he could dwell therein. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand, amen. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah. That's the gospel, brothers and sisters. Let's quit walking in unbelief. People want to see with their eyes. And Jesus said, though you have eyes to see, you do not see. You need to see with your heart in the Spirit. You need to walk in the Spirit, know him in the Spirit, listen in the Spirit, speak in the Spirit, sing spiritual songs and hymns, the Bible says. Get out of your carnality, get out of your natural mind, and start serving God in the Spirit. That's the only way you'll know him. Amen? Start believing what he says. If he says that if two or three of you come in my name, who came in the name of the Lord? Did somebody come in the name of the Lord? Okay, I see several hands. Where's he at? He's in our midst. Hallelujah. He's here. Amen. Hallelujah. He's here on the day of our need. What is your need today? Give it to him and say, oh God, you're an awesome God. Amen. Quit walking below your privileges. I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to destroy your faith and kill your faith. He don't want you to walk and know who you are in Christ. He doesn't want you to do that because he knows that as soon as you know who you are, that you could trample him and put him under your feet. Amen. And when he comes and whispers in your ear and lies to you, and says, oh, you can't do it. Oh, you're going to die. You just need to gird up your loins and say, you know what, devil? You're a liar and you're the father of all lies. You started lying there in the garden and you lied to Eve. And you've been nothing but a liar ever since then. And I'm not going to listen to your lies. You see, she listened to the lie. Oh, surely you won't die. She listened to a lie. And this is what many people do. They submit and listen to the liar. And he's going to lie to you. Oh, it's okay. You know, Jesus came. You know that the devil preaches the gospel? More so sometimes than preachers do. Oh, it's, you know, Jesus is love. He's mercy. You know, he shed his blood for the whole world. He died on the cross for you. Oh, surely he's a merciful God. He wouldn't put you into hell. Go ahead, you homosexual, and get another boyfriend. Go ahead, you drunkard, and get you another 6-pack or 12-pack. You know, go ahead, you whoremonger, and go find you another harlot. Go ahead. You know, and go ahead and keep on murmuring and complaining. Go ahead. You know, Jesus loved you. You know, you're just a man and nobody's perfect. You know, and God knows your weaknesses and all those things. And just keep on backbiting and keep on bickering and complaining and just keep on sinning. Oh, he washed away your sin. That's the way the devil talks. You say, well, that sounds like a minister talking. Yeah, he's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. Well, don't you believe that God washes away your sin? I say, yay and amen. He washed away my sin and cleansed me and made this temple pure. And he made it a place of dwelling, and he comes and dwell. And when I draw nigh unto the Lord and resist the devil flees. I know how to discern the voice of the devil and the voice of God. You know, a sheep and a goat sound a whole lot alike, but I can discern between the two by the Spirit. And that old goat nature of that devil, he's going to come and tell you, oh yeah, you know, Jesus this and Jesus that. But you know, he'll never tell you. John 3:16, the Satan quotes that probably more than the preachers do. Oh, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish and have everlasting life. That's the gospel. I stand on that. But the devil quotes that. The Bible says line upon line and precept upon precept. We got to go on, brothers and sisters, not laying again the foundation of repentance. The Bible said, but we got to start preaching doctrine. We got to start preaching doctrine of faith and doctrines of baptism. And we got to get people girded up like men. Amen. The preachers are called to bring the people to perfection. We need to quit just pleading the blood of Jesus, saying, oh, you know, we can't do nothing. We're not perfect. And, oh, Jesus done this for us and everything. And he did. I'm not taking away from that. But what I'm saying, if you are a blood-bought, born-again child of God and have been endued with power, the Bible said that you are a good soldier for Christ and you keep yourself unspotted from the affairs of this world. The Bible gave us a full armor of God and the power of God. We have a shield of faith, brothers and sisters, and the sword of the Spirit. That means we're soldiers and we're conquerors and we're supposed to be kicking the gates of hell down, and we're supposed to be preaching the gospel and letting people know to get out of their sin, amen, and to come out of the world. But they're offering salvation in sin, and they're offering salvation in the world. So the thing is we got to come out of it. If you're a peculiar people, it means you've come out of the world. If you're a Christian, that means that you've been redeemed and born again and washed in the blood, and you've come out of the world. Salvation is not to live in the world. Salvation, you're saved from the world, amen. This is what we have to understand, brothers and sisters. Let me read a little bit of scripture to you. I haven't read any scripture to you. I'm going to read just a little bit of scripture. We'll comment. I want you to turn over to Romans, the 9th chapter with me. Don't live below your means. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him tell you that you're weak. Don't let him tell you that you cannot. Don't let him tell you that you're not perfect. Jesus said he's made ye perfect. He said, be ye perfect even as your Father is perfect. Amen. And he's perfected us once and for all by his works on the cross of Calvary is what he says. Believe what he done for you. You didn't make perfection because you're a good person. You didn't make perfection because you're so good and you understand the Bible and because you've been in church all your life. That's not what makes you perfect. It's by the washing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's perfected you with. Amen. And believe what he's done. And believe that and rejoice and say, thank you, Jesus. I believe what you've done. I may not be able to see it with my eyes, but I believe it because I know you said it and this is what you've done. Amen. When you have afflictions come your way, instead of looking on the affliction, say, you know what, Lord, I may be weak, but I'm saying that I'm strong because I believe in your word. Chapter 9, the book of Romans, chapter 9. Let's go to the first verse here. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, and this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. Now listen to this, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. When you think of the elder serving the younger, you see that doesn't fit in their order. It's the firstborn that receives the blessing of the father. But here the word is teaching us that it's the younger is going to be the leader, and the elder shall serve him. You see, there's a turnaround, brothers and sisters, and the Jews had many things they had troubles accepting when it come to the gospel of Christ, because it was different. different than the law. It was different because he came to do away with the law, and he brought us a new dispensation, and it was in the grace. Amen. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of me, of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up. Who raised up Pharaoh? Come on now. God raised him up. You remember me speaking to you? And I'll say this before we go back and read. Here God goes to Moses and says, you know, you're going to be a deliverer. You're going to be a redeemer. You're going to get these people out of bondage over here in Egypt. So God's over here and he prepares a bush and he lights it on fire to get Moses' attention. And he's speaking to Moses saying, I want you to go and free my people. And at the same time, if you go and read in the scriptures, he went over to Pharaoh and he did what? Hardened his heart. He hardened Pharaoh's heart for he wouldn't let the people go. But why did God go ask Moses to go deliver him and then he goes over and hardens Pharaoh's heart? Because he has his way in the good and in the evil. Amen. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart for he could come against the children of Israel. And he could come against the living God, the creator of all things. And God could show his power. If Pharaoh did not come against him, God would have never been able to show his power. Amen. So that's what he did. God showed his power. How is God showing his power today? How is God showing you the power of the gospel today? How is he showing it to your friends that you know need salvation? How is he showing it to your families that are lost and perishing? He's going to show the power of the gospel, and you're going to see it because you're going to take up your cross, amen, and follow after him. And you're going to mortify the deeds of your flesh, amen, and you're going to show the power and the authority over that man of the flesh. Do you realize your first birth is the enemy of God? Oh, but God loved me. God repented that he even made man, he says. God despises the image of your first birth. He said we're not even to know Jesus after the image of man that he came in. The Bible said that he came in the image of the sin nature. That's what Jesus came in. We're not supposed to know him after that. That's why it's an abomination when the Catholic Church strips him off and has him up on a cross and people stand before this Savior on a cross stripped off. That was a shame to the Lord. He was a godly man, a holy man, and they stripped him off in his shame. That was a terrible thing that he went through. We're not supposed to know him in that image. Yes, we remember the cross and the victory that we have from him giving his life there. Yes, we understand that. We understand, but we're to know him in the resurrection. That's the way we're supposed to know him. You see, brothers and sisters, when he died on a cross, it was no different than any other man, but when he resurrected is where the power of salvation came. Amen. And that's the way we know him. We're not supposed to know him after that image. And we're not supposed to glorify this image. We're not supposed to be known by this image. We're to be known after the power of the gospel. Amen. Let's read on here just a little bit more. Verse 18, it says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will, and have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Don't ever question God, brothers and sisters. Trust him. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to maketh one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured, which with much long suffering the vessel of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory? Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Osee, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that if the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, thought the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea. A remnant shall be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Also, as Isaiah said, except the Lord of the Sabbath, and let us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness have not attained to the law of righteousness? Wherefore, because thou sought it not by faith. See the importance of faith? Faith is important, brother said. Without faith, you will never know God. You'll never see God. It's by faith. And without faith, the Bible said it would be imputed to you as sin. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand the mind of God. Again, the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The mind of the living God, Jesus Christ, that mind is not the same of your first birth mind. Your mind, brothers and sisters, of your first birth is full of envy and jealousies and strife. That's the way of man. You have to be born again. You've got to receive the mind of the gospel. You see, the mind of Christ, do good to them to despitefully use you. Brothers and sisters, this is another mind. The mind of man is always selfish and after its own gains and own things, but the mind of Christ is always doing and looking for the benefit of others. That's when you are partakers of the glory of God. We have to learn to understand God. We got to learn to know God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And the God of the religious America is not the same God that I serve. Now, I know this sounds harsh or strong, like a strong indictment, but the Bible said it's a small flock and few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it. Brothers and sisters, the deceiver, the Antichrist, the Bible said that there's many Antichrists among you. The religious orders of this world are not teaching that the Antichrist is present now. They're teaching that he's going to come someday. Brothers and sisters, the Bible's very clear about that. It said there's many Antichrists among you. It says that if you do not believe that God is in the flesh, then you are Antichrist. Amen. And I believe that God is in the flesh because I've received the power of the gospel, the power of God, and he's dwelling within me. That brings God in the flesh, and it's no longer the minister speaking, but it's God speaking through the people that brings him alive today. The Bible said in this day that they will trample the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under their feet, and they will persecute him all the day long. Brothers and sisters, that's because he is here, he's well, and he's alive, and we are a part of that many-membered body. We need to know who we are in him, amen, and walk therein, and walk not below the privileges of the gospel, amen. He has given us everything that pertaineth unto life. His hand is not short. He is with us. We need to quit saying, well, you know, someday's coming. That puts people in shipwrecked faith. You see, they keep deferring the hope. The Bible said a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. And when you keep saying, oh, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, they're going to get shipwrecked. Brothers and sisters, he has come. He is our God, our salvation. He is our Savior. He said there, he said in the promise, he said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father, that I could send back the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, amen. And he did exactly what he said. He sent back the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God in our life. We've been endued with power. We are full of the Spirit of life and the Spirit of God. We are walking in salvation. We are the power of that salvation, amen, walking above reproach in this earth, amen. Brothers and sisters, well, Brother Rob, don't you believe that someday the eastern sky is going to roll back like a scroll and he's going to come? I say, yea and amen, I believe that. But he's coming for the Jew then. They rejected him. When he walked among them, they rejected him, and he's coming back in like manner, like they saw him descend from the Mount of Olivet. They saw him descend. He said, you know, don't sit here and gaze. He knows he's coming back in like manner. He's coming back in that like manner unto the Jew. But we are the spiritual Jew. We're the spiritual elect. And we are fellowshipping him in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, amen, praying in the Spirit, and we're fellowshipping him. This is our day. Amen. We're not looking and longing for anything. Amen. Well, you know, like a man said to me not long back, he goes, well, I know that one day I'm going to die, and when I lay this body down, I'm going to receive the blessings of God. Brothers and sisters, I've received the blessings of God. He's granted life to me. Man, what more could be a more blessing than that? He's given me eternal life and everything that pertains to that. Yeah, but Brother Rob, you know, I'm getting old and I'm aging and thus, man. Quit looking at the lying vanity. Start rejoicing in the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens to that body. That's not your eternal life. That is the image of sin. That's not what governs God. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The Spirit of life came and dwelled in the image of sin. And the Bible said light being formed within darkness. This body's not supposed to be glorified in the perspective of the way you think. It will go through a metamorphosis, a transfiguration, the Bible said. It'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yes, I do believe that. But brothers and sisters, that's not what I'm looking to. I'm looking to God, Christ, and I'm walking in the Spirit and dwelling in the Spirit today. That's going to take care of itself. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, one day this old body, it said, it's not that one sown in iniquity, but it's raised in power. You understand? Brothers and sisters, it's sown telestial, raised celestial. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Get your eyes off of the flesh and get your eyes in the Spirit. That part's going to take care of himself. It's been purchased and redeemed by the blood of Christ at Calvary. But we got to transformate our mind in this day and hour and serve a living God. And we got to glorify his name today. And we got to know him in his power today. Amen. That's what we do. Choose ye this day in whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God? Or are you going to serve the powers of this world? Which one is it? I choose to serve God. We worship him and praise him and magnify his name. Amen. That's our obligation, brothers and sisters. If we're going to be murmuring and complaining against him and, oh, where are you at, God? Why are you letting this happen to me, God? Who are you to find fault with him? If he has one vessel to honor and another one to dishonor, who are you as the one made of clay that could look to the maker and say, you know, and find fault with him? Brothers and sisters, submit to the living God and say, God, I know you have your way in all things, and all things work together for my good. All things. Brothers and sisters, that means all things. If you love him, everything works for your good. Everything. Amen. And brothers and sisters, the Bible said, ye that win souls are wise. And sometimes as a soul winner, there's things that's going to come to your life and come to you that is going to be persecutions and tribulations. And you're going to say, my God, the power of my God, hallelujah. And he's having his way, and I've got the strength to stand and endure, amen. You know, Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Lord, is there any way this cup could pass before me? To the point of travailing and sweating drops of blood. Is there any way? He besought God three times and asked him, is there any way that this thing could pass before me? But whatever, let your will be done. Brothers and sisters, we are in the same as Christ when he walked among the earth. You got to understand the importance of your life. You know, we keep looking back to Jesus and everything that he done, and we're supposed to be looking at what he done as an example and be doing the same thing. He said that we will be about the Father's business just as he was. We'll be seeking for the lost, brothers and sisters, just as he was. We have been endued with the power of the gospel, brothers and sisters, that we could walk in this present day and hour and lead people into the kingdom of God. If you don't bring Jesus to people, they're not going to hear it. That is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to take on the burden of soul winning just as Jesus did. He condescended to men of a less estate and walked among men to bring the understanding of the gospel. That is your responsibility. Oh, you know, but my neighbor's hungry. Let me pray for him, you hypocrite. You don't need to pray. You need to take him some food. You just pray and you think that it's going to, oh, because I prayed, everything's going to be all right. I'm not taking away the power of prayer. Pray and do something. Faith is works, brothers and sisters. Oh, I've got faith. I'm going to pray that God will provide for them. If you got faith in God and you pray to God, then he's going to make you be the provider. Oh, I don't know if I like that. Well, that's the way it is. I was in the hospital and you visited me not. I was in jail, you visited me not. But Lord, when was you? What you done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you done unto me. Brothers and sisters, you know, I believe in the power of prayer and we need to be praying people. But brothers and sisters, we better start putting some feet with our prayers. When we see people going through things as such, if it's hunger or whatever, we need to show the love of God to them. Now, on the other hand, you'll get people that sit back with a welfare mentality in mind and they'll let the church take care of them and stuff. And then we need to go to the scriptures and talks about the widows. And it said that even the things that they must be doing, that the church would be accountable to even help them. There's a balance, brothers and sisters. And sometimes people will play on your Christianity and on your sympathy, and they'll say, hey, do this, and hey, you're to help me. I have people call me as a minister. This is your duty. This is your obligation. This is what you got to do. Where's the love of God in your life? The love of God in my life is telling you to repent and get born again. Amen. But you know, that's the way people are sometimes. And sometimes we go ahead and we help and we love and do. But you know, brothers and sisters, we need to understand the responsibilities that we're walking in on a daily basis. Do you realize, and I don't say this and I hope I don't offend you, the only Jesus that the people of America and the world are going to see is the Jesus that you allow to manifest in your heart and in your life. That's the importance. And this is why when the afflictions and the things and the persecutions come, you need to let them see the power of God manifesting in your life. You're not moved by the beggarly elements of this world. You're not moved by the lying vanities of this world. You're standing up and saying, praise God, hallelujah. And when you rejoice and you praise Him, He'll bring you through the affliction. Amen. He'll bring you through the adversaries. He'll bring you through and you will be more than a conqueror. Amen. Don't get in despair. Don't look at the things around you. Don't look at the elements around you. Look into the face of a living God and say, you know what, Lord, I trust you. Amen. Have your way. Hallelujah. Lord God, I know that this is for my good and for the good of others, that they could see and know that you are God. Amen. Hallelujah. God had his way in the life of Moses. God had his way with Isaac. He had his way, brothers and sisters, with Abraham. All the way through the gospel, if you go and read in Hebrews about faith in the 11th chapter, you're going to find that afflictions came to every circumstance there to glorify God and to show faith. And if you want to be a soul winner and show salvation to the people, then they're going to see you going through persecution and tribulation. Now, you might be one and say, well, preacher, I don't agree with that. Well, you better start reading your gospel, because the Bible said to equip yourself with a mind of suffering. The Bible also says they hated him first, and they're going to hate you also. And if you're preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to be popular and the world's not going to like you. If the world likes you, then you're of the world and you're not of God. But the Bible said they hated him first and they will hate you also. So when you preach the gospel, you better gird up your loins for persecutions and some tribulation. Amen. But he will deliver you through them all. He will give you the strength and the power, and you'll walk upon those things of this world. Amen. And they're not going to affect you because you're walking beyond in the power of the gospel. Amen. Brothers and sisters, our God is not weak. His hand is not short. Amen. Be prepared and be equipped to serve him. Amen. The world's in darkness. There's gross darknesses and infiltrated this world. The Bible teaches very clear that in the end time that Satan will climb up into the upper lintels, the upper echelon. And if you don't know what that means the church. Now you get into the second dimension in the soul realm, it's up in your thoughts. And he'll climb up in your thoughts and you'll have thoughts of ideology, your ideas, the way you think God is, and you'll walk in darkness. But brothers and sisters, it's not your ways, it's not your thoughts, it's his ways, and his thoughts to him is whom we serve. Get out of the way you think God is and get into the Word of God and know who God is. Amen. It's the Word. It's this Word is true, and let every man again be a liar. It's this Word, brothers and sisters, I'm called in defense. I'm not called to defend a denomination or some sect of people. I'm called to defend only this Word. Many denominations, I had a man say, well, Brother Rob, are you part of this church? And I said, well, I'd like to say yes, but I can't, because I said, the church that you're speaking of is all split up into so many splinters that they all believe differently. How could I say I'm part of that? Brothers and sisters, there's good God-fearing men that started many denominations over many years, and they started good works and they loved God and they were doing a great work for the Lord, but they turned them into denominations and they just went on and they got doctrines of men and fables of men. And how could we be numbered with that? We're called to defend the Word, brothers and sisters. That's it. Solely it. Not anything other than the Word of God. Amen. So when we understand the responsibilities that we have as the children of God, the sons of God. The Bible said, now ye are the sons of God. When you're born again, you've received his Spirit. The old things have passed away and all things become new. You're birthed into the kingdom of God. You have a responsibility as a child of God. The Father puts a responsibility on each and every one of us to carry forth the gospel, just as he did his son Jesus. Amen. Now, he was the firstborn, the Bible said, of many brethren, and we are a brother of the Lord. We have a responsibility as the sons of God to take the good news of the gospel into this earth and preach the gospel to every generation, every man, and that they could know God. And this isn't happening like it should be. They've turned the gospel into a business. They've turned it into lasciviousness. They've turned it into gains and finances. When Jesus went into the temple, he took a whip and ran them out because of money changers in the temple. This is what's happening in our churches, brothers and sisters. I know this isn't always what you want to hear, and you're thinking, well, you know, man, you need to have a little more grace and God's love and his mercy. I understand God and his love and his mercy. That's why I'm standing here. I got breath going in and out of my lungs because we're serving a merciful, loving God. But let's wake up and understand and make judgments of what's going on out here. Oh, but you can't judge. Oh, sure I can. Judgment begins in the house of God. And we need to be judging what's going on out there, or we're going to be caught in the snares of the devil and the enemy. Satan has climbed up into the upper lintels and infiltrated our churches of America. He's preaching behind the sacred desk of American churches. They call them pulpits, to pull into the pit. And he's preaching there, and he is a deceiver, and he's an antichrist, and he is pulling people in. And he's preaching the doctrine, doctrine that God is love and God is mercy. But he's not preaching the doctrine that God is angry with the wicked and pursuing them off the face of the earth. He's not preaching a doctrine that you need to turn away from the world and get out of the world and be a separate people. He's preaching a doctrine that, oh, God loves you, it's okay. He knows that you can't overcome. He knows that, you know, you were born as a man, and, you know, you can't help it when you drink and snort and lie and smoke and cheat. He can't help it, you know, and he knows you can't help it, but he just washed you and cleansed you and made you all right. That's a lie of the devil. He's given us power, brothers and sisters. My salvation is power to bring me out. I know that I've witnessed God take and clean up dope addicts. I've seen him clean up whoremongers. I've seen him clean up harlots. I've seen him clean these people up, brothers and sisters. That's the power of the gospel. That's why we receive this power. Let's quit making excuses. Let's quit making excuses and walking below the means of God. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, you are filled with the power to overcome and to come out. Amen. And that's what we're commanded to do. Show that to the people of this world. Let them see the testimony of Christ in your life, that you are an overcomer. Amen. And when they see Christ, the Bible said your written epistles read and known of all men. And when they read that book of Christ on your life, and they see the power of salvation, and they see the delivering power of God to bring you out, and they see that, they're going to say, I want that. That's what I want. Is your gospel something that they want? When you're walking around going, oh, you know, I don't know where God's at, you know, and oh man, I don't feel good. I'm sick. I'm afflicted. And man, I'm broke. I'm poor. Man, where's God at? Man, who wants that gospel? Who wants that kind of gospel, man? We need to start rejoicing. And if you find yourself weak, then you need to lift up your hands and look up to God and say, God, let the Bible says, let the weak say that I'm strong, and I'm strong, almighty God. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, you're going to feel that enduing power of the living God come over you. And all of a sudden, you're going to say, hallelujah, praise God. And you're going to believe it, amen, and you're going to walk in it, hallelujah. And you're going to start being an overcomer, amen, hallelujah. And when you're sick and afflicted, you say, oh, God, I don't feel well. But you know what, brother? You know, and you say, but God, amen, I know that you shed that blood and received them stripes on your back for my healing. And I receive in the name of the Lord, amen. And all of a sudden, you'll receive this power of the living God. And it'll start changing things, amen. Hallelujah. And it'll start changing things. And all of a sudden, you'll find that that affliction is gone. It's departed. It's left you. Do you believe that today? Brothers and sisters, I'm speaking about what Jesus has done for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't walk below your means. Don't walk in despair. Don't walk in this sorrows and things. You know, I know the Bible said it's a contrite spirit that God could use. And sometimes the afflictions come to break a man's spirit. It's overconfident. You know, oh yeah, praise God. There's so many people in religion that are so overconfident and they're just talking about God, but they haven't witnessed the power of it. And he'll let afflictions and things break us down that we could receive the power of God. And then we'll know him in his power. When you're on your face and he picks you up and cleans you up, you can know that there is a true Redeemer that picks you up. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Love him. Know that he has his way in the good and evil. Trust him. I don't mean to sound like I'm preaching a gospel this morning that's full of just sorrows and tribulations and persecutions, but I got to get you into a balance to understand that he delivers from those things. And I got to preach that because I see people walking in those things and they don't understand it. And the only way out of it is through the power of praise and rejoicing in him. You know, don't yield to the circumstances. Don't yield to it. They're going to come to all of you. Every single one of you, these things are going to happen to you at one point of time or another. And you got to just know how to deal with it and how to walk in it. You know what happens? I'm going to say this in closing. Let me tell you how the average Christian thinks. They're going along through their life or their daily activities. Somebody comes up in their face and says, you know what? I don't like you. You're ugly. I don't like nothing about you. And then all of a sudden in your spirit, you're going to think, well, you wretched, no good thing. I don't like you neither. You know what? And I think you're ugly too. You see, what have you done? You've done nothing. But you know what? What you should be in your spirit, say, you know what, Jesus, I know that they said they didn't like you and they hated you, and they're also going to hate me. You know, Lord, I love this individual. And then you turn and say to them, say, well, you know, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And if I've done anything to offend you, I apologize and please forgive me, but I love you. You see, now you've showed the power of the gospel. It's easy to answer as a man. You think that because anger presents itself to you, that it gives you a free license to present anger back. But if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That thing was presented to you to show the love of God. I remember sharing a story with the man that stood out here on the porch all on back. And he said, man, Brother Rob, I went down there to the church, and this brother, man, he got in my face, man. He cursed me out this and I said, man, praise God. That was the preparation of that man's heart was from God. God prepared that man to do that. And he stood back like, where are you going? God prepared that man to do that for you could show the power of God in your life. I've had people do that to me. I've had people curse me, accuse me, and lie against the truth. And I'll say, man, I'm sorry, but I love you. If that's what you say is true, God have mercy on me. But what about you? Does it justify? If I'm lost on my way to hell, doesn't justify you to live like a devil? If I, as the pastor of this church, is lost and I'm going to find myself in eternal damnation, God forbid. But if that's the way it was, that doesn't justify you. Why do people go to this church and say, man, this brother over there, man, he ain't right. He steals. He does this. Who cares? Are you his servant? Are you his master? What you need to do is hear what the preacher's saying. The Bible said even do as the Pharisees. They say, but not what they do. Brothers and sisters, listen. God is having his way in all things. Submit to that and learn that. And when you do that, then you'll see the salvation in it. You'll see the power in it. And you'll see why God is having that happen. If the brethren weren't taken and put in jail, they would have never known the delivering power of God to deliver them from bondage. You understand that? They would never would have saw that. If Jesus would not have been killed on the cross of Calvary, we would have never known him in the resurrection. No matter how terrible and hideous of a thing it was and how God-awful it was, it had to take place for we could know him in the resurrection. What is it in your life? Have you resurrected the power of God today in your life? Have you resurrected Christ today in your life and let him come out of this earthen vessel? If the kingdom of God is within, we got to call him forth. Remove the stony heart out of the way and let Jesus come forth. And let us hear him speak and hear the love of God coming out of your mouth. Soft answer turns away wrath. When they come with you wrath, there should be a soft answer from Christ coming forth. When they despitefully use you, there should be the kindness of a living God coming forth and saying, you know, I love you and God loves you. I'm sorry that you feel this way, but God help you. Not with wrath and malice. Sometimes you turn people away when God brings them right up there and that old devil's fighting for the last stronghold in their life and he'll manifest in them with anger and bitterness and all those things and he'll manifest himself in those things and then you turn and use the sword of vengeance instead of the love of God. Brothers and sisters, we have a great responsibility. Amen. Let's walk therein and know who we are in Christ. And let's know our God and our Savior. Let's know him in his power and his strength. And let's know him and let him manifest in our lives. It's our responsibility. Let's stand together. I love you all and appreciate you. Brothers and sisters, take on the responsibility. Quit thinking it's the preacher's responsibility to win souls. It's your responsibility. The Bible said, ye that win souls are wise. It is your responsibility to be a soul winner. It is your responsibility to bring light into the world of darkness. Ye are the light of the world. It is your responsibility to go forth and let people see the power of the gospel manifesting in you. Quit serving a lukewarm, limp-wristed God. Let your Jesus be all power and authority and know who he is. Amen. Hallelujah. I know sometimes it sounds like I'm hard down on some of the churches or some of the things of this world, but brothers and sisters, we got to quit making allowances for sin. We don't need to be making excuses for sin. The Bible said we're inexcusable. He gave us the power to overcome sin. We're inexcusable. We can't keep walking in it and just keep pleading it. Oh, I'm just a baby. You know, gird your loins up. Be a man and the gospel. Be a child of God. Get your strength. He's not weak and his hand's not short. Know who he is. Amen. I say this so oftentimes. It's who you yield your members to or is who you are of. You yield your members over to lasciviousness and the things of this world, then you are of the world and your father's the devil, according to the Bible. But if you yield your members over to God, to righteousness and holiness, and godliness, brothers and sisters, and that's who you are of. I encourage you in the name of the Lord Jesus to gird up your loins like men and serve the living God and let him reign the power of God to overcome in your life. Amen. That others could see good when good comes and they could find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let's sing a song or two. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.